Father, I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I thank you, God, for all those that came out to sit in your presence and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. Now, Father God, the angels that are here, I'm asking that they walk to and fro throughout the chairs and minister to your people. And Father God, let the Holy Spirit be so active and evident that people's lives will be changed. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God told me to God is teaching on brokenness within. Brokenness within. You, us individually. So Satan loves to remind God's children of, this is not God, all right? Satan loves to remind God's children of their marriage mess-ups, their parenting blunders, their business failures, their relationship blunders, and their prideful actions of the past. He loves to keep you bound in the hurts others have inflicted upon you. That's Satan's job. Now, you can keep trying to pay for those yourself, but the reality is you can never really undo the past. You can't undo your past. You can only learn from it and accept God's grace to move beyond it. It's God's grace that erases our past, and it's God's grace that will remake our future. And you can find that in Ephesians 2, 5 through 8, Hebrews 4, 16, and 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Each time you begin to dwell on your mistakes or sins of the past, visually picture the words grace before those thoughts, pushing the negative ones out. Visually see the word grace in front of those thoughts. Then whisper a thank you cry to God. Lord, thank you for your grace that brings healing from my past. Thank you for redeeming me and for seeing me as if I have always obeyed. Thank you that you love me completely and unconditionally. All right. Now this is what, now we're going to start with God. This is God's, what he had to say. The body of Christ has to understand that the enemy will always try to bring your past before your face. And just about the time you think that you're not ever going to think of it again, he pops it back up again to get you to think about it. You're going to have to just get over it. You know, I spent just about a year getting over some things that the enemy kept putting in my face that weren't even true, but he had me believing they were true of the way I acted, and God was working with me to bring me through that falsehood, and finally I said enough is enough, and it was gone. You have to be the one to say enough is enough, or the enemy will keep tormenting you until you say, I just know the truth, and the truth has set me free, and you're not going to keep flashing these lies before my eyes, all right? Now, this is what God said. I want you to listen really carefully to what he's saying tonight. My children need to seek healing within. There are pockets of cancer within the soul that is eating away at the heart. And until this cancer is addressed and uprooted, the heart will remain locked in bitterness and all manner of evil. Now, this is important. My children need to seek healing within. There are pockets of cancer within the soul that is eating away at the heart. And until this cancer is addressed and uprooted, the heart will remain locked in bitterness and all manner of evil. God said many of my people are walking around wounded within, and that is not my desire for their lives. But they are not seeking my face for truth. And until truth is revealed, healing cannot start. You have to do what I did. Seek God's face for the truth and get it all straightened out. You know, unravel that mess that Satan placed in your mind. So Revelations 3:20 says, behold, this is Jesus speaking in the word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. See what he says? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Then Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, God said many times, "I have knocked at the heart's door and asked to come in and heal those wounds. But my children hold on so tightly to those things that give them pleasure." You read that again. "Many times I have knocked at the heart's door and asked to come in and heal those wounds, but my children hold on so tightly to those things that give them pleasure. You say, how does a deep wound bring anyone pleasure?" Good question. This is God speaking. People enjoy holding on to deep wounds, for that gives them the right to walk in bitterness and hate toward the one or ones that wounded them in the first place. God says, "Why do you think the world is revolving around cancer as it is? This is a cancer from the dark side, and he enjoys watching you decay right before his very eyes. He draws great pleasure keeping you enslaved to your past. He torments you while you're on this earth, and then he torments you after he gets you into the abyss." Satan derives great pleasure in watching us being tormented by our past. God said, "The enemy knows without a shadow of a doubt that as long as he keeps you enslaved, you will never move forward in me and you will never be a threat to his kingdom." I'll read that again. "The enemy knows without a shadow of a doubt that as long as he keeps you enslaved, you will never move forward in me and you will never be a threat to his kingdom." God didn't say you won't go around working for him. Because we all want to do that, so we do that. But we really don't move forward in him because we are enslaved to the enemy. Luke 6:39 says, Jesus spoke and said, and he spoke a parable to them and said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch?" Then he said, "The disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." Then Luke 11:14-23 the reason why I wrote these scriptures down is because what we just read. The enemy knows without a shadow of a doubt that as long as he keeps you enslaved, you will never move forward in me and you will never be a threat to his kingdom. All right. And so then Luke 11:14 says, it tells you that Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub. So you can read that when you come. It's Luke 11:14-23. In other words, if you're bound, you can't go and unbind anybody else. All right. Then God said, a prisoner cannot set another prisoner free, and the enemy is well aware of this truth. You must first get yourself healed, and then you can be a catalyst to help others be healed. God said, the more you try to move forward, the harder the enemy pushes to keep you in bondage. You must be stronger in your convictions than the enemy is. You must do the works of saying enough is enough. You notice it's you, you, you. You must be the mouthpiece that tells the enemy he is finished in your life. It is you that must find the courage to ask someone to help you pull up out all that decay and get it out in the open and remove from your life forever. No one else can do that except you. You know you're bound up. You know you're living in sin. It's you that has to go and say, I need help. I'm in bondage and I can't get out. But a lot of people, God has told me over the years, they won't ask for that help because they really enjoy their sin, but they don't understand that while they're in that sin, Satan could take their life and they would spend eternity in hell. Did you read the article where the young lady was 15 years old? And she just decided life was not worth living. Things weren't going right. So she went in her bathroom and shot herself in the chest and killed herself. Committed suicide. Landed right in hell. And she said, Jesus, can you please send a word to the people to tell them that when they commit suicide, they're going to go to hell. And I didn't listen to the whole testimony, but it was quite lengthy. But the gist of it was is that if you commit suicide, you're going to go to hell. And she was sent forth with her testimony to go forth and to tell the people that. She didn't think she was going to go to hell because she was from a Christian home, but life just seemed too unbearable for her at age 15. You know, a lot of 15-year-olds think they're all that and then some. that you all get yourself in all kind of trouble, then they blame everybody but yourself. All right? And the enemy gets you there. But you stay, once you get there and you know better, you stay there because, oh, it's been not too bad here, what he has me doing. You enjoy everything. And so you stay there. And then he gets you more bound and more bound to come to the point you can't set yourself free. Right? All right, God said, this is freedom fighter time. And you must fight the good fight of freedom and defeat the enemy on all sides. All right, let's go back to suicide. Have you seen how many people are committing suicide nowadays? And everybody says to me, will you go to hell if you commit suicide? I said, I really don't know. I can't find anything. The Bible says don't take a life, and you're taking your own life. And that's a sin if you take a life. I said, that's the only thing I have to back it up. But that young lady's testimony is quite a testimony. You will go to hell if you commit suicide. And look at all these people that help people commit suicide. I guess they're both going to end up there, not unless the one to help repents. All right? So God said, this is freedom fighter time, and you must fight the good fight of freedom and defeat the enemy on all sides. The enemy is not going to give up easily. He's going to place all kinds of lies in your mind. But you must choose right now not to listen to his lies. So right now, tonight, God wants you to choose that you're not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. You know, everybody sitting here knows the truth. You know the truth. You can say you don't, but you do. And you won't. It's not going to hold any water if you stand before God and say, well, I didn't know the truth. Yes, you did. All right, God said, the enemy is not going to give up easily. He's going to place all kinds of lies in your mind, but you must choose right now not to listen to his lies. He will tell you that people will look differently at you when they find out what is going on within you. How many of you know that the devil does this? He tells you that people will look differently at you when they find out what is going on within you. I knew there was something wrong with them. And see, that this is where the church fails. We should never say that. We should be there thanking God that he moved upon that person, and the person is admitting, I've got a problem, and being set free. But instead, we kick them while they're down. Then God said, does it really matter, little ones? Does it really matter what others think? I want you to think about it. You know, when Sister Elaine stood up here and gave her testimony about the abortions, I thought that was absolutely the most wonderful thing I ever heard. Because she was not ashamed, and she didn't care what other people thought. She wants to set people free. She wanted to let people know it was sin. Isn't that what it was all about? And she wanted you to let you know that you can survive that. That God's grace will see you through that. So God said, does it really matter, little ones, you know, what people think or what they say? Does it really matter what others think? Then God says, it is you that is in bondage and not moving forward. It is you that has to wake up each and every day with this heavy weight hanging over your head. It is you that has to look into the mirror and face yourself. You need to work out your own salvation and not listen to the voices of others. You know, one time, you know, I had a guest speaker here, and I knew I was in bondage. I didn't know what it was. And so when he made the altar call, I went to the altar, and he was putting his hands on me. I said, please don't touch me. I don't want to go out in the spirit. He knew I would. And I said, I don't want to go out in the spirit. I have to scream. I just have to scream. I have to be set free. No, no, Pastor Barbara, you don't want to do that in front of all these people. No, no. And I said, please don't lay your hands on me. Well, he laid his hands on me. And of course, I went out in the spirit. I didn't care what anybody else thought. I knew that there was something binding me up. Excuse me. It wasn't but a couple of weeks later that I screamed and I was set free. But I knew that that's what I had to do, and I wasn't ashamed of it. This is where a lot of you fail, yourself and everybody around you. You don't want anybody to know you have a problem. I don't know what it was. I don't know where the problem came. I don't really care. I just knew that I couldn't go any further unless I got set free. Are you listening? All right, God said, let us use Paul as an example. Before I called Paul into the ministry, he was very prestigious in the community. Highly educated man, if you read about Paul. But look what he had to endure to be a soldier of the cross. He had to face ridicule, imprisonment, false accusations, and even rejection from his own. He didn't care. He didn't care what the elite group said about him. He knew that God called him. He knew he was doing wrong, and he was going to serve God with all of his heart, no matter what anybody else said. He had to leave everything, all of his money, everything, to serve God, but he didn't care. Are you listening? All right, then God said, what did Satan say to my son when he was being tempted? In Matthew 14, 1 through 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, Jesus was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Now he knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but still he said that to Jesus, trying to tempt him and make him do something that he shouldn't do. If you read, go ahead and read Matthew chapter 4, he tempted him more than one time, more than different things. All right, God says, do you see what is going on here, little ones? The enemy has conjured up another lie to keep you in bondage. Once the truth is out there, he has to move on, for he has no weapons to use against you. You see that? Once the truth is out there, he has to move on, for he has no weapons to use against you. God says, empty out your closet. Freedom is just a choice away. But you have to make that choice to get free and stay free. Let's just stop it. Let's talk about that series you're doing for the men. Conqueror series. The reason why so many men are still staying in bondage is because they're ashamed to go and tell somebody else that they're still in bondage. And the enemy says, you don't want to tell them that. Look, they'll look down on you. Who cares? You're being set free. Women are in the same bondage. They're bound in perversion too. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy. Let God set you free no matter what it takes. God says, so many talking about generational curses instead of doing something about them. It is time to put all talking aside and move into action mode. It is not a sin to have a bondage. The sin is when you keep the bondage. When I have made a way of escape for every bondage the enemy has bound you with. The word tells us God's made a way of escape for any temptation. The blood of my son has power. Use his power and be set free from the cancer of your soul. Never give place to the enemy in any area. Stay completely whole by seeking deliverance through the cross. I don't care if it's a little tiny thing. Don't keep it. Give it. Get rid of it because it grows bigger and bigger and bigger. To after bit, it consumes you. You have to get rid of these cancerous things that the enemy brings your way. God said, this day is another crossing over day. This day is another day of newfound freedom from the cancers of the abyss. This day, God wants you free. God said, my son Jesus paid the ultimate price for your freedom. Do not allow the enemy to steal this freedom from you. I am for you and not against you, and I will always be there, even in the deepest, darkest cave of your soul. Come on. I'm hearing God say, are you a freedom fighter or are you not? You're going to have to fight for your freedom. You know, Satan, he just pulls you in there so slyly, doesn't he? And, you know, he's so sly about what he does, and you don't even realize what's even going on. Next thing you know, you're in there, and you're in a cage. He has you captive. And then you have to fight like crazy to get out. It's not an easy thing to get out because he's going to fight and fight and fight. God says, number one, how many here tonight are struggling with bondages that are keeping you out of the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And number two, how many here tonight are afraid of what others will think? And number three, how many here tonight are wallowing in such pain and agony deep inside that you're drowning in your own self-pity? Come on. Well, if I let go of this unforgiveness against my husband who really messed me up, then he'll have the pleasure and I won't. You're really wanting God to make you feel good because somebody treated you wrong, and God does not do that. He makes you forgive and move on. God says, do you understand that when you cannot forgive someone or let go of something they have done to you, that thing has settled into your soul and it is affecting every area of your life? Children, the truth is free, and the truth will set you so completely free. Why not come to the light and the truth and allow me to rip all that old junk out of you? Why not come to the light and the truth and allow me to rip all that old junk out of you? You know, God has made me forgive people so many times that, you know, I really had to say, just surrender my whole self to him. And every time you say forgive, I'd say, okay, I forgive. And I'd mean it from the very depths of my soul. I didn't care what you did to me. I didn't care how often you did to me. The word says turn the other cheek 7 times. Somebody said that says 7 times in one day. And I said one day, I said, God, my cheek is flat wore out. I've turned it so many times over this, you know, the same situation. But I still had to turn the other cheek. I still had to forgive and forget and move on. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. If you're around somebody who keeps doing you wrong and you keep, you know, forgiving them, after a bit, when they do you wrong, you won't even notice it. Because God somehow supernaturally takes, it doesn't bother you anymore. And it isn't that you become senile. But God just does something to you where it doesn't bother you no more. You just go on. It's just life. Because God's taking care of that thing. Because you let go of it. I had a husband who ran around on me, and what God would do is he'd put me into a deep sleep, and I'd have to go to bed, and I'd go to bed and sleep the whole time he was gone, and wake up when he walked through the door, not upset or angry, because God was protecting me. You know how you sit at home and agonize, oh, where is he at, what's he doing, why didn't he come home, blah, 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 you know how that goes, and God would just put me into a deep sleep, rest, sleep, I'd go to sleep, and when he'd come home, I'd get awake, and never a word was said because I didn't have no hurt, no pain, no nothing. My God is faithful. My God will not let me suffer like that. Are you listening here tonight? God said, I am the author and finisher of your life, and I know exactly what is embedded deep in the recesses of your soul. Do you know sometimes God knows what's there and you don't? I mean, because, you know, whenever God was telling us to search our souls every morning, and when I would say, okay, God, what's in there that I don't know is in there? I was shocked. What he showed me was in there. I don't know about you, but I was shocked. He knew it was in there. And so he brought us through that stage of searching ourselves, and he was able to bring that. We was given him freedom to bring that junk up out of us and set us free. So God said, I am the author and finisher of your life, and I know exactly what is embedded deep in the recesses of your soul. I know all the deep secrets that you have been hiding all these many years. You see that? I know all the deep secrets that you've been hiding all these many years. You know, I don't trust anybody by face value anymore. I have found out face value is nothing. When I meet somebody, I immediately say, in the spirit, God, I want to see this person as you see them. I don't want them standing in front of me deceiving me. I went through many, many years of preaching people deceiving me. Then I'd have to find out the hard way that, you know, oh, no, I've got to take, you know, this is who they are. This is where God made them. I don't want to know any bad things about them. Well, that's sticking your head in the sand and being totally deceived. Come on. I remember I was in a church when I was first born again, and this pastor was really upset with this couple, and I said, oh, how could you possibly do that? You know, here was a little innocent, loving me, wanted to love everybody. Everybody went to church. You know, they all wanted to be right. Well, that's a lie. And so I would tell the pastor, I was a deacon, he made me a deacon. I said, you're wrong in what you're doing to this person. He said, all right, Barbara, you'll find out for yourself. I sure did. And they were exactly what he said they were. And I wasn't deceived no more after that, because I just worked myself to pieces trying to get these people to know they were loved and everything else. And they didn't want to be loved. They were bound in that sin. And it was a couple who was molesting their children and their children. You know, it was a mess. But that isn't what I saw when I looked. I just saw children of God sitting in the house of God, wanting to be blessed. You need to open up your eyes, guys, you know, your spiritual eyes, and let God show you what people are all about. I didn't say don't trust people. I just said you need to start looking at people through God's eyes so that you won't make the same mistakes that I made, trying to be loving and kind and compassionate and work myself to death, you know, going to their home and ministering to them and, you know, all those things that you do as a child of God, and they didn't want any of it. And I wore myself out doing that. And God said, look, you're trying to save them. And if the Holy Spirit can't do it, you sure can't do it. Are you listening? Now, I didn't say don't go visit them. I say don't go and don't love on them. I didn't say that. I said make sure you're seeing through the eyes of Christ and asking him to lead God and direct you in ministering to people. Because you can't minister to everybody the same way anyhow. Right? All right. I'm going to read this part. I know all the deep secrets that you have been hiding all these many years. In reality, children, it is me that you need to answer to, not all those around about you. See that? You don't have to answer to me. You have to answer to God. You see, I do not judge my children because God knows why you're in the state that you're in. Whether it's out of stupidity, whether it's out of rebellion, he knows the state that you're in, why you're there. God said, I know all about you, and I am trying desperately to set you free from all the cancerous junk embedded deep inside of you. Why? So you can be a vessel of honor that I can work through. If you have junk embedded inside of you, God cannot use you. You can get out there and you can use yourself. You know, you can preach and you can lay hands on people, but it's not God using you, and eventually you'll fail. You'll fall. If it's not done through the Spirit, you're going to fall. You know, it's like Sister Astrid, you know, she has her Thursday night class, and somebody told her, why even bother going? Because nobody's coming. And what they're saying, there's no Spanish people coming, just the church people are coming, but you hang in there. Because I've gone through a lot of stuff in 40 years. And I never quit, and God was always faithful to build. All right? And you might be being tested by God to see if you're really faithful. All right? Believe me, if God called it, it'll work. All right, then. God says, number one, are you ready to say enough is enough? And number two, are you ready to say, I want to be totally and completely free from all that hell has entangled me with. See what Numbers 2 says. Are you ready to say, I want to be totally and completely free from all that hell has entangled me with? And number 3, are you ready to say, I want to be healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet? I'm hearing him say he's not trying. He is separating the wheat from the chaff. He gave us the message this morning. He's given this message tonight, and I don't know what he's going to do next week, but this is what he's doing this weekend. And it's up to you whether you receive or reject. It's up to you whether you're the wheat or the chaff, all right? The humble, the meek, he doesn't go out looking for somebody that's a king or has a degree or anything else. You have scars from life. I don't understand how somebody could deny Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't understand that. I don't care how deep your eyes are. I don't understand that. This man paid the ultimate price for you. You spit on his face every time you sin. And God said, the reason why God's been upset for years with the church is because we've been trampled on the blood of Jesus. That blood came with a great price. Jesus suffered terribly for that blood to flow down Calvary's hill. How can you deny Jesus? How can you deny Jesus and receive the devil who was made? God didn't make hell for you and I. He made it for Satan and his crew, because so many of God's people are down there. And always he's doing right now is tormenting you. And all he ever is ever going to do is torment you. Isn't that what God said? He's going to torment you here. Then when he gets you in the abyss, he's going to torment you some more. So why do you keep rejecting him? That's I don't understand this. I really don't. And I look at my family, and I don't understand how they reject him either. They call me a fool, but I'm a fool for Christ. I'm not a fool for the devil. Are you understanding this, guys? So anyhow, then God said, he asked the third question, are you ready to say I want to be healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet? Then he said, if you are ready to let go and be what I have foreordained you to be, then come to the cross and be set free. He said, but only come if you're ready to be freed from all bondage and not concerned what others will say afterwards. Then he says, come, children, the time for freedom has come, and I am waiting and willing to set you free.